Welcome to the special Tuesday afternoon GOP convention edition of Political Rewind. It's great to have you all here for today's show. Obviously, an awful lot to talk about coming out of Cleveland last night and today. At the table, Julianne Thompson, a Republican strategist, State Senator Steve Henson, the leader of the minority caucus in the Georgia State Senate. He's out in DeKalb County. Brian Robinson, former Deputy Chief of Staff and Communications Director for Governor Nathan Deal. We also are going to be joined in just a minute from Cleveland by Alec Poitevint. Mr. Poitevint is a longtime leader of the Republican Party in Georgia. In national politics, he has managed GOP conventions in the past, and it'll be fascinating in just a minute to hear his take on how the convention is getting off to the start it is in Cleveland. Before we get there, you know, at the very beginning of each show, you hear what we call a billboard of 1 minute at the very start before the news, in which we give you some sense of what's coming up on the show. And I have to tell you that I talked to Trevor Young and to Jenny Ament, our producers, about holding off writing that billboard today as long as possible, because we thought perhaps this Melania Trump speech plagiarism issue, something would develop throughout the day. The Trump campaign would respond in some way. Trump might come out and defend his wife. There might be a firing in Cleveland. And yet, many hours after that speech and the fact that there was plagiarism, and we'll play it for you in a few minutes, nothing has happened, which is a little bit surprising, I think, to all of us. And we'll talk about that as we get into the show today. So let's bring in Alec Poitevint, and all of you, please, here in the studio, join in. Alec, thank you so much for joining us from Cleveland.
It's a pleasure to be on with you, Bill.
So given that you have been in the role of overseeing conventions in the past, how do you characterize the kind of start you had in Cleveland last night? The afternoon, a floor fight in which the anti-Trump forces felt they were shouted down. And then last night, the flap over Melania Trump's speech. Are you off to the start you would hope to have?
Well, in regard to the rules process, I was counsel to the Rules Committee of the convention, and that went on for an entire day, from 8 a.m. to 12 o'clock. And so the rules had already been thrashed out and been debated in open forum with the press and witnesses present and so forth. And there's always some changes in the rules, but in general, the rules were confirmed. And so that battle had already been completed with the Rules Committee, and those people are duly elected from their states and so forth. So the process at the convention is simply the confirmation of all that work that went on for all those hours in the pre-work. So from that standpoint, it was clearly the ayes had it, the nays didn't. They did it twice to make sure. And so we moved on beyond that. But there are always rule changes. I've been involved in that rules process since 1984. And we always have a lot of rules that people think are important. And in general, we tend to modify the rules and keep going forward. And so that's what occurred.
Did you think, though, the optics of having people like Ken Cuccinelli, Utah Senator Mike Lee, saying essentially, Mike Lee essentially saying this is like fascist tactics, Cuccinelli throwing down his credential on the convention floor, probably not the best optics for the first session of the convention?
Well, maybe not, but I will say this, that Mike Lee had unlimited opportunity on at the Rules Committee for an entire day to voice his opinions, and he did. And so in a due and proper discourse, they were all debated, and the positions that he took not only lost, they were very much in a minority. And the rules that were passed were a process of RNC members in the Trump campaign and people who want to win this election pass these rules. And so we have, so it's a little different, but the rules process has been a little bumpy before.
There are people who think that we are going to see a little bit more steam come letting off by the folks who wanted to change the rules, some of whom were anti-Trump people, perhaps in the roll call vote tonight. Do you anticipate there will be some criticism of Trump or the process yesterday during this, you know, very ceremonial roll call, which nominates your presidential candidate?
Well, look, there's always been some antics. The truth is there's an enormous enthusiasm here for Donald Trump and to defeat Hillary Clinton. America's mayor, Giuliani, laid it down last night. He shook the corn where everybody can get to it. And then, and without saying, Mrs. Trump's speech was elegant and a great message. And so we left with people with big smiles and enthusiasm. And I think that was the same message that went across TV and radio and across all the media spectrums last night. So I think we're off to a good start. We're having a real convention. So for those who've always wanted to be real, it is real.
Last question, Alec. We know you've got to get back to business. The Melania Trump plagiarism controversy. Does this hurt the party in its efforts to get a larger message out with all of us in the media focused on this issue?
Well, I think the media may be focused on it, but I think the people of America last night were looking at this person and her message and how she presented herself, and most important, the importance of family. And we'll run on those values and that process and be very proud of it. I think it was a great presentation and a great opportunity for America to get to know her last night. And I think she did a great job, and I'm looking forward to tonight. And I think you'll have some great speeches and some moments to report tonight, and we'll move forward.
When you hear the side-by-side comparison, Michelle Obama and last night Melania Trump, does it make you cringe just a little bit?
No, if somebody told me right now, Bill, that I needed to go to the microphone and say wonderful things about knowing you, and I got up and did that, and a few minutes later you asked Brian, and he was in another room and didn't know it, we'd probably say some of the same things. And so you've been there, and there are certain things when you're doing that are very similar. And so I would rest the fact that anyone saying nice things about you, we'd probably all say about the same thing.
All right. Alec Poinovich, thank you so much for joining us from Cleveland. It's a real pleasure to have you weigh in on Political Rewind. Have a great convention, Alec.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, let's get all of you involved here. But to do that, I think we should start with the Melania Trump controversy. Everybody think that's a fair place to start this conversation?
That's the news of the day, right?
Yeah, I think it is.
As long as we get to the rules.
Yeah, we will. We will. All right. So first of all, Melania Trump, a lot resting on her shoulders last night because we all know she is not does not love being in the public spotlight. She has played a role behind the scenes, we're told, but she's never really wanted to step forward. And yet we have to hear from a spouse of a presumed nominee, I think. So how she performed last night was crucial. She got off to what most people think was a terrific start, and many people loved some of the things she said about her husband. Let's listen to one example of that.
Donald has a great and deep and unbounding determination and a never give up attitude. I have seen him fight for years to get the project done or even start it, and he does not give up. If you want someone to fight for you and your country, I can assure you, he's the guy.
So many delegates left last night being enthralled by Melania Trump.
Well, you know, certainly a presidential candidate's wife is somebody who we just, you know, do want to know that will represent the country well. And she was beautiful and articulate. But if you really want to criticize the speech, you know, she's talking about Donald Trump and how dedicated and committed. And, you know, he's on his third marriage. You know, he's been sued thousands of times for breaking his word. You know, for some of us listening to the actual statements, it wasn't convincing. I think it was a fine message of that delegate, the convention. You know, she did fine, and you know, I'm not even going to bash her for what I do believe was some plagiarism off a previous speech because I figure a staffer wrote that. You know, I don't think it convinced a lot of people and endear them to Trump on a personal level, which was that.
Julianne,
let me give
you a chance at this.
I think that she was beautiful, absolutely beautiful, elegant in her presentation, and the speech was delivered very well. I think that her defining moment of her speech is when she said on July 8th, 2006, I became a United States citizen, which is the greatest privilege on the face of this earth, which brought down the house. And I think when she said that, she really resonated with the crowds, and she resonated with people at home. And I think she did a fantastic job.
So, Brian, a number of news organizations have put together the back and forth, showing what Melania Trump said last night and then what Michelle Obama said back in 2008. Probably works a little better if you are seeing each of them. But I think if you listen carefully, you can clearly tell which one is Melania Trump and which one is Michelle Obama. Let's listen to the pertinent passages that have caused so much commotion today.
From a young age, my parents impressed on me.
Barack and I were raised with so many of
the values.
The same values.
That you work hard for what you want in life.
You work hard for what you want in life.
That your word is your bond.
That your word is your bond.
And you do what you say and keep your promise.
That you do what you say you're gonna do.
That you treat people with respect.
That you treat people with dignity and respect. Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation.
We need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
Because we want our children.
Because we want our children.
And all children in this nation.
In this nation.
To know that the only limit to the height of your achievements.
To know that the only limit to your achievements
is the reach of your dreams,
is the strength of your dreams,
and your willingness to work hard for them.
And your willingness to work for them.
Brian Robinson, give us your reaction to hearing those side-by-side comments.
I have no idea what you're talking about. They sound like two totally different speeches to me. I don't know what the controversy is. I think this whole thing's made up.
His nose grew 3 feet in the room.
I somehow missed the kerfluffle last night because, like most Americans on the East Coast, I was in bed when it began to break. But I woke up this morning and got on my social media feeds and saw Democrats celebrating and Republicans sort of slapping their faces and sort of the acknowledgement amongst Republicans that this was pretty egregious, and you can't deny what you're hearing. The similarities are glaring. This is an example of there being no staff work whatsoever on Team Trump. I agree with Senator Henson. This is not Melania's fault. It's unfortunate that she was out giving interviews beforehand saying that she wrote it herself. Obviously, that is not true. She did not go watch YouTube of Michelle Obama and then, you know, pencil write out whatever Michelle Obama did. Some staffer who's probably doesn't have any support, perhaps doesn't have any experience in writing speeches at all, got tasked with this because there is no well of talent on the staff level in the Trump campaign. And I'm speaking as someone who's not a politician. I'm speaking as a staffer. I'm somebody who helps politicians. I've written many of these kind of speeches. And this sort of mistake doesn't happen organically or by mistake. This is someone sitting down and transcribing one speech onto another. It is a fireable offense. And the Trump campaign needs to be out there today because Melania is going to be here for the long haul. And she may be the next First Lady of the United States. That's a distinct possibility. She needs to be protected here. And somebody's head needs to roll. Somebody needs to get fired today.
Well, I've just seen a glimpse of a headline that our team brought in from the control room, Julianne, and I'll let you then comment. The Trump campaign is saying these were Melania's words. They're essentially laying this whole thing at her feet, is my understanding of the news that's just broken on this. What do you think of that?
Well, I have a very difficult time believing that someone who has not been exposed to politics much throughout their life would have sat down and written this speech. I believe she wrote down a lot of her ideas, and then it was then given to a professional speechwriter to craft it into a political speech. And I totally agree with what Brian said. First of all, it's one of two things. It's either a completely incompetent child that plagiarized a speech, or it's somebody that's vindictive trying to embarrass the campaign. It's one or the two, one of the two, and those things actually do happen. But either way, Donald Trump needs to say you're fired to that speechwriter.
Is it a big deal, Steve Henson?
Well, you know, it's a big deal because it's dominating the space today. And whether or not we would have more pushback on the Benghazi message that was given at the convention, which I thought was over the top and not constructive and against, you know, some of the congressional investigations we had, or whether or not we would be hearing more about the kind of race elements of Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matters, and the other topic convention would have been at the forefront. Whether that would have been bad for the Republicans or good for the Republicans, I'm not sure.
Interesting.
I'm frustrated because I felt, as a communicator, as a political Republican communicator, that one thing we did very well last night was stay on message. Absolutely every speaker who got up there was on topic. Everyone stated the words, "Make America Safe Again," so that when American viewers turned the TV off at the end of the night, they knew what Republicans stood for on this issue, and they knew why the Democrats were an unacceptable alternative. We had done so well, and there's no talk of that today.
Well, you know, all of the talk is about this. I didn't see really plans or outline. I saw attacking of Hillary on a personal level on Benghazi, that it was her fault that the son died. I saw, you know, kind of a vitriol attack, but I didn't see plans. I didn't see we're going to increase that much more budget, that much more policing. I actually didn't see the Republicans put forth how to make America safe again. I saw
speakers.
Juliana speak, and I thought it was vitriol and not a.
We're going to get into
agenda.
Some of the other speakers in a minute, but Julianne?
I just do not see how Pat Smith, whose son Sean Smith was killed in Benghazi and had personal encounters with Hillary Clinton, how her speech could be seen as personal or vitriolic as far as being politically personal is concerned. These were her own experiences.
Julian, let me interrupt you because I want to play some of her speech.
Okay.
After we take a break, I apologize, but let's just put a button on the whole question of Melania Trump and plagiarism. Brian, again, you're the communicator. You said it just a minute ago. The Trump folks came into this convention, in addition to the messaging, the issue messaging they wanted to get across, one of the doubts about them from the start has been they're not building an organization that's ready for prime time. They're not building up staff. They're all listening to whatever Mr. Trump tells them to do. And if nothing else, that moment, the Melania Trump matter really puts that forth as a bigger issue than people had even suspected it was. Yes?
One thing that I've always said about this campaign is it's not really a campaign. It is a cult of personality. Donald Trump is the only candidate that I've ever known of who does all his own social media, who gets no policy briefings, who uses no notes, doesn't talk to staff before giving speeches, who just completely wings every interview and every speech. It is unparalleled in any of my experience. And to give you some context here locally, throughout much of the primary, you know, Trump's campaign team for a national campaign over 50 states was smaller than what Governor Deal had on his campaign team in 2010 and 2014. It's that small. And it's just a few people. Like, his major communications person is a young woman in her mid-20s with no previous communications experience. To get a train like this moving on the tracks takes a lot of people, a lot of brawn, and a lot of experience. And they don't have any of those things.
So, Steve Henson, as we go to a break, one last item. Many people, including Republicans, suggested that Paul Manafort, the chairman of the Trump campaign, is ultimately responsible. He should have been looking at this script. This is the most important speech, other than the speech probably, that Trump will give Thursday night. This is his spouse. We don't know if he did. He didn't pay a whole lot of attention. There are computer programs that will allow you to cross-check for plagiarism. So there are a lot of people saying maybe Manafort should take the fall. Manafort, late this morning and early this afternoon, is saying he blames this on Hillary Clinton and her campaign because they're pushing this out inappropriately.
Well, I think they should have taken more of a response that Brian took, that, you know, somebody made a mistake. If they found out who, they'd pay a price. What they're doing on the pushback now is saying, you know, this singer said something similar, this person said something similar, and it, you know, it's not plagiarism. The fact is, if you hear several segments together, the string, you know, most people come to the conclusion there was some plagiarism. You know, Paul Manafort's job is to run a campaign. Is this enough to move him out of that position? I don't think so. Would somebody probably better for the campaign if they paid the price and get off this total denial thing? I think the campaign would be better served.
It just keeps the story alive in one more news.
And they're fighting it. You know.
We have to take a break. But as we go to break, let's play just a lighter moment from the Republican convention. On Sunday, I think it was, before the convention actually started, the Georgia delegation, along with others, went to an event, a reception at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, one of the best reasons to go to Cleveland, I think. And two of the women were carrying pistols in their purses, and the Secret Service stopped them. Here is the executive director of the Georgia Republican Party briefing the whole delegation after this incident. It's just worth a few seconds of our time.
Some of you ladies ended up with the Secret Service for an extended period of time because you took your gun and your bag where you wasn't supposed to take it. The Secret Service was gracious to deal with Georgia and Texas. When you get on the GOP Express bus, you're going into the secured zone. Don't take your gun. Trust the Lord for the peace to be still. Don't take your piece of steel. They say they're locking it up, but you may go back and not find your gun. So just, everybody needs their gun.
You're listening to Political Rewind. We'll be back after this break.
On the next Fresh Air, comic Mike Birbiglia, who many public radio listeners first knew from his stories on This American Life. He wrote, directed, and starred in the film Sleepwalk With Me. His new film, Don't Think Twice, is about the members of an improv comedy group who feel left behind when one member joins the cast of a famous TV sketch comedy show. Join us.
You can hear that interview on Fresh Air this afternoon at 3, right here on GPB.
This week, Republicans convene in Cleveland to nominate Donald Trump for president. NPR and PBS NewsHour will be there, too. We're teaming up to bring you live coverage each night. I'm Rachel Martin. Join me, Judy Woodruff, and Gwen Ifill for speeches, interviews, and analysis live from the Republican National Convention. Special coverage from PBS NewsHour and NPR News.
You can listen live tonight starting at 8 on gpbnews.org.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. It's 2:28 on Tuesday afternoon. This is a special Republican convention edition of our show. We'll do the same thing next Tuesday when the Democrats are meeting in Philadelphia. By the way, I said the executive director of the Georgia Party. What we heard just going into that break was a wonderful little briefing by the political director of the Republican Party, Brad Hughes, telling people, don't take your pistols with you. That was Julianne. That was just really terrific stuff. So let's go back to serious business. You began to talk about Patricia Smith last night. The theme, of course, last night in Cleveland was Make America Safe Again. And so we saw an emphasis on immigration. We saw speakers who had lost family members in crimes committed by undocumented immigrants. We saw a focus on police shootings, sadly, and we saw a focus on the Benghazi terrorist actions. One of the speaker who came before the convention on this was Patricia Smith. Her son, Sean, was an IT worker, I think at the CIA complex rather than the main consulate, but that's really neither here nor there in some ways. This is just a little bit of what she said. I want to play it, and when we come back, I really think we should all talk about what we think the impact of this was.
I blame Hillary Clinton personally for the death of my son. That's personally. In an email to her daughter shortly after the attack, Hillary Clinton blamed it on terrorism. But when I saw Hillary Clinton, she sure is. She sure is. She lied to me and then called me a liar. When I saw Hillary Clinton at Sean's coffin ceremony just days later, she looked me squarely in the eye and told me a video was responsible. Since then, I have repeatedly asked Hillary Clinton to explain to me the real reason why my son is dead. I'm still waiting.
Julianne, you told us before we even played that this was a moving moment for you last night.
It was a moving moment, and I think it was a moving moment for the entire nation that has unfortunately been overshadowed by the Melania speech this morning. I don't think it was vitriolic. I think it was reality to Mrs. Smith. This happened to her. And the purpose of these national conventions is not to just come out with a nominee, but it's also to draw a clear contrast between the two candidates. And I'm sure if we're all being intellectually honest here, the Democrats are certainly going to have a lot of negative things and a lot of vitriol to throw at Donald Trump next week. So I think that this was a fair moment and a very heartfelt personal moment.
Brian, I'm going to bring you in before I let the Democrat at our table, Steve Henson, talk, because I watched this last night and found it to be incredibly painful and thought it was tragic in two ways. One, because Pat Smith is still in deep mourning for the loss of her son. And so it's hard not to reach out and feel so deeply for her. At the same time, she leveled charges that come from her heart, but not from her brain, in the sense that the things she said have all been disproved by the Benghazi committee. She believes Hillary Clinton is personally responsible for her son's death. She said she should be in prison. And I thought it was tragic, too, because I think Republicans put her in a really bad spot. She looked a little lost up there on the stage, leveling these charges.
You know, it's really difficult to put yourself in the position or in the shoes of a parent who has lost a child, or even if it's an adult child. And I just don't feel like I can sit in the audience and judge what this woman said in any negative sense. I do think that there are legitimate questions about how the State Department handled the Benghazi situation. It obviously wasn't handled right, and there were obviously a lot of mixed messages and some lies that came out of the early moments of that tragic event. I'm not an expert on what happened in Benghazi.
Well, then Steve, so here, I think what Brian says is really important and worth talking about. We all, you know, there are legitimate questions that Republicans will raise, should raise in the campaign as we move toward November. Did the Obama administration, with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, learn nothing from what happens when you depose a dictator in Iraq and don't have a plan for what fills that vacuum? That seems to me to be a legitimate question to be raised for voters to weigh in. But Patricia Smith went to a place that didn't give voters something they can really think about in a more intelligent way.
Sure. And when you mentioned Iraq, that was the Bush administration who deposed that dictator.
Well, I know that, but nevertheless, we all saw what happened.
Yeah, Libya was another circumstance, yes. And you know the dangers, you know there are going to be problems. And the sad thing is, just like you said, Bill, I mean, she was touched. She was speaking from the heart. It was a tough position. We all empathize, and we feel for her. But the message from the Republican convention, that simple, touching, personal attack, which plays at the motion and for many the worst I think, attack, because it's personal, but it's not substantive. To call her personally responsible, I don't think you'll see at the Democratic convention families of construction workers have died on Donald Trump project coming and say he personally was responsible.
Do you think that's true, Julie?
If they can find that person, will be speaking
if I
there.
We can look back to the Democratic National Convention back in 2012. Did the Democrats not have people on stage blaming Mitt Romney for their family dying of cancer?
You know what I think? Well, let's let's talk about
Come on, let's be honest here.
I thought last night, Steve and Julianne and Brian, and I want you all to please jump in on this. I thought last night proved what we've all been really saying is going to happen at both of these conventions and beyond, which is when you have a candidate as unpopular as Donald Trump, as unpopular as Hillary Clinton, the way you win an election is by attacking your opponent and making sure your opponent is more unpopular than you are. And Steve, that's what I saw unfolding Cleveland last night.
And that's what I saw. And I hope the Democratic convention next week will take a little higher note. And you will see more substance to where we want to go. But, you know, the facts are you could also attack the Republicans, because they had declined increased funding for our embassies and their protection. There are a lot of issues that we know after millions and millions of dollars studying Benghazi affair. And I didn't think it was a high moment of the convention. I don't think it convinced swing voters to go with the Trump campaign. I saw last night largely just, go to their base, not something that would address swing voters. And certainly, the rules fight. While we just had the former chair of the party on, showed that there's still division. They had over 7 states that had a majority of the delegates that wanted to do a roll call vote. Only by suspending for a few minutes and hustling the floor did they break that down. I don't think it was a good first day, and that's not just being partisan.
We're going to take a minute and talk just briefly about the delegate fight yesterday afternoon, which kind of launched the whole convention. But Julianne, let me ask you, because you've been very active in grassroots Republican organizing. You were one of a Tea Party person when we first got to know who you were as a political leader. And I'm wondering, so last night you had the sheriff of Milwaukee County, David Clark, essentially attacking Black Lives Matter. You had several speakers essentially attacking undocumented immigrants who were criminals, because they too lost family members to them. Is this the kind of Republican Party that you want to see moving forward? I mean, this was a party focused at a white electorate, wasn't it?
Well, David Clark is black.
Yes, he is. But yes, he is. And he's the perfect guy to attack Black Lives Matter. Nevertheless,
he's a police officer. That's why he was, quote unquote, attacking Black Lives Matter. And police officers have been victims and targets as a result of the poor messaging that has gone out from Black Lives Matter. I think that organization could play a very important role and should play an important role if their messaging was different. And I saw a video a couple of weeks ago with Newt Gingrich and Van Jones, where Van Jones said himself, they've had a messaging problem. They should have been more clear about the fact that what they're saying is Black Lives Matter too, instead of Black Lives Matter and not your life.
But
and
last night, what we saw,
what he was saying is Blue Lives Matter too.
Oh, look. I but here's the issue. You're right. And Clark is a larger than life character. He's the guy who a couple of years ago urged the people of Milwaukee to arm themselves in the fight against crime. So he's always been a controversial character. But Brian, I guess my larger question is, yes, of course, Blue Lives Matter. But there wasn't a single word last night that showed concern for the black victims of police officer alleged misconduct. Not a word.
Ah, that's not true.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani, who gave a firebrand speech.
Okay, I didn't hear all of his speech. I apologize.
But Giuliani did make one line in there about those who have been killed wrongly, innocent people who have been killed. And that is wrong. And in those situations, the perpetrators need to be punished. And so that was addressed. It was not the major theme of the night. The major theme of the night was security, thanking those who provide our security. There's nothing wrong with that message. Having that message does not rule out that there have been people wrongly killed. Certainly, I don't know any Republicans who are serious people who don't think we have a serious problem in law enforcement with innocent African Americans getting shot and killed. We all agree that something needs to be done. And I mean, if somebody has an idea, please tell me what it is, because the nation is coming apart at the seams. And when we are in times like this, when people are scared about security in their nation, they're scared to travel to Western Europe with their vacation with their families, they turn to political leaders who promise law and order, who promise to go get the bad guys, who promise to be tough on those who don't care about human rights and other human lives. And the Republican Party was putting out the message last night consistently and effectively that we're the party that provides that security.
Steve, somebody said last night they saw more diversity at the podium than among the delegates in the convention. Also, just by as a side note, then it'll lead you into whatever you want to say. There was a photograph that got an enormous amount of play on social media yesterday of Paul Ryan standing with the Republican interns on Capitol Hill, and someone noticed that among the probably 100 young people posed behind the Speaker of the House, every single one of them was white.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think the messages was a little bit of a scare tactic yesterday. You know, I think Jay Bookman had a recent article about police deaths and actually a declining rate in much of the Obama administration. You know, the convention, as you said, you know, what Brian said was very appropriate. You know, there have been black individuals who should rightly feel that there have been cases of killings and deaths and danger for them. And the convention didn't reflect that, I didn't think at all. One brief comment of Giuliani in a pretty aggressive speech, I don't think landed there. And why they went this way, I don't know. You know, it seemed like the convention was about playing to their base last night. And maybe making sure that that Donald holds his votes for the end of the week.
Well, maybe there's nothing wrong, Julianne, with on the first night of a convention playing to your base. Maybe on the first, you know, we all believe and we assume the Trump campaign, Manafort has run conventions before, so we assume he sees a thread moving through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, finally Thursday night, the nominee stepping forward. So perhaps, yes, they threw red meat to their base last night, but it'll be interesting to see how they proceed for the rest of the week.
Well, I think Brian was right earlier when he said they really stayed on message last night. I think that they did. And there's never been another election in my lifetime when national security has been on the forefront of everyone's mind as it is in 2016. So I think last night and the message of last night about keeping America safe was a perfect opening night message.
Okay.
And plus, look, next week you're going to see the exact same thing, because Hillary Clinton has a problem within her party, just as Trump is trying to consolidate support within the GOP. The Bernie people are still hesitant to come on board with Hillary Clinton. She is going to have to go out there and show discontented Democrats who don't feel like the Democrats are liberal enough. And these people, I mean, I don't know who are these people, but who think that Hillary Clinton is too centrist, she's too moderate, and she's going to have to go out there and give the, you know, Workers Unite appeal to the base one of the nights next week. And you're going to see that. You're going to see some hard left rhetoric coming out of them because they've got a problem with the Bernie people.
So, Steve, as a citizen and a voter, the thing that I think worries me personally most is that we've got a tone already established in the Republican convention. I think probably that Julianne and Brian make a good point. We're likely to see a similar harsh tone next week toward Trump. We are headed for another election in which it's not a question of which one is better. It's not a question of who do I choose. It's when we come out of that election, half of the voters in this country are going to feel the president who is elected is not their president. That is troubling.
Well, I mean, certainly these two candidates with their very high negatives, you know, it's going to be troubling. There's going to be a lot of frustration. And as you stated earlier, they're going to be playing on those negatives probably to swing the swing voters to their side, playing more on the other side's negatives than their positives. You know, getting to his point, you know, I do think Hillary's a little stronger at the Democratic convention. A lot of Bernie Sanders people are frustrated, and it's going to take a while to make sure things are mended. But she did win a majority of the votes in our Democratic primary caucuses. Trump only got 45% of the Republican votes, and with 17
candidates. In a field of 17.
17 candidates in his side.
We should say you'll be at the Democratic convention as a delegate next week. All right. Perhaps we'll get a chance to talk to you by phone as we did with Alec Poynevit.
We'd love to call it.
We'll work that out. All right. Look, let's get another break in. And when we come back, among other things, let's listen to Jim Galloway and I talked a short time ago. Let's listen to just some observations from Jim that we've already talked about here, but it's always great to have his take. And Steve, I promise we'll talk a little bit about the floor fight that developed yesterday afternoon. You're listening to Political Rewind at 2:46.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal. Having your car towed is never a good feeling unless it means more public radio. Donate your unwanted car and help support this public radio station. Watch your car get towed away and feel good about it.
Go to gpb.org/cars or call 877-GPB-1-CAR and thanks.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. I'm Bill Nigut, Brian Robinson, State Senator Steve Henson, and Julianne Thompson are at the table today. Steve Henson, you've been chomping at the bit to talk about the floor fight yesterday, which the anti-Trump forces wanted to force a vote on whether or not delegates could become unbound, among other things. They were shot down fast and hard by the chair.
Yeah, well, they were shot down fast and hard, but it was kind of funny to see afterwards so many people complaining about losing their right to votes when some of those same characters have been doing so in the state legislators for citizens for a while, knocking down people's right to vote. But you know, it was impressive that more than seven states had a majority of their delegates that wanted to have a floor vote, a roll call vote on those rules, and, brought that petition to the convention. And, you know, after a brief time of suspending and running around, twisting arms, enough people took their signatures off those affidavits.
All right. There was a lot of activity on the floor, people shouting back and forth about it. One of the most outspoken, Ken Cuccinelli, former attorney general for the state of Virginia, has been a rising star in the Republican Party. He expressed his frustration to a number of reporters.
This is really appalling. This is the party of law and order that I was an attorney general. That was, that matters to me. And if you won't obey your own rules, there's no reason to think you'll obey any others. And here we've got RNC trampling their own grassroots delegates.
So, Brian, there are people who think that it might have been wise for the Trump-led convention to have allowed a roll call vote, which would have taken about an hour or so. One of the arguments against it was, oh, it'll take forever to do this. Don't do it. We'll be here later. It probably would have taken about an hour. And what it would have done was been a steam valve. It would have released some of the tension. And there are a lot of people who think those anti-Trump folks and those who are already frustrated about yesterday will express that during the nominating process, the roll call of the states tonight.
You know, those roll calls provide a lot of drama and good storylines and show division. And for years, you've heard the news media talk about how there's no unexpected comeuppance in these conventions. They're just scripted, and it's this phony image of both parties. And what you're seeing, as Alex said earlier, is a real convention with a big tent party with differing ideas and people fighting to have their opinions come through in the end. It's a fantastic look at the political process and how it really works, that it's not all stage managed and we don't all agree on every issue. I would have been fine with seeing a roll call. I believe that Trump, even though he was not my candidate in the primary, that he won the votes. He won the nomination fair and square. The convention needs to ratify that. Or the party would have even bigger problems if they took it away from him. So let the process play out. Let there be drama, because that's what people want to see. If we get more people putting eyeballs on the screens for the first time in years, let them tune in for drama and then see our message.
Can you imagine Robinson saying this if it involved his former boss?
I just don't see him. Nathan Neal? That would be wild.
Give me a break.
Well, we had drama in 68 and 72 in the Democratic conventions, and it didn't parlay in the victory.
All right. Look, I do want to give you a chance to hear Jim Galloway's observations. We talked to him a little bit earlier, and you should hear how he sums up some of the things that he's been watching since yesterday afternoon.
It's a huge story. And number one, you have to feel terrible for Donald Trump's wife. You've got to view her as a political novice. She was walking cold into a world that she doesn't know anything about. Yeah, she may have worked with some speechwriters. I don't think she did the major part of that work herself. She wouldn't have. Nobody would expect her to have. To find out that the whole paragraphs were lifted from Michelle Obama's speech, of all people. That is just campaign malpractice of a height we haven't seen.
I am assuming that the Republican delegations at the convention are going to rally around Trump and Melania today without regard to whether they too understand that there was plagiarism involved. Are you hearing anything from members of the Georgia delegation about how they're feeling about this?
Oh, right. Yeah. They're pushing back and they're picking up some of Paul Manford's line that this is a Democratic attack. But I tell you what undermines all that is the video and audio that's available.
Yeah.
And that undercuts any kind of excuses they may offer.
Donald Trump, your feeling is, has got to handle this quickly. And already the question is, he hasn't handled it quickly yet.
No. And he still has the fallout from the Rules Committee to go through. I mean, the way they bulldozed that through, you can explain why they did that. I'm sure they felt that they were trying to protect their evening TV lineup, which was very important to them. And it ran long as it was. But they're going to pay for that tonight when Trump is nominated through a roll call vote. You're going to see some demonstrations there. And they'll pay for it again when Trump accepts the nomination in his speech.
Were any members of the Georgia delegation sympathetic to those who felt they were railroaded yesterday?
Yeah, but very quietly so. I mean, there's a good deal of discipline that's being observed on the Georgia delegation. And yeah, you have some people who aren't thrilled with Trump, but they're not saying so publicly.
Jim, what should we expect tonight? We've got Mitch McConnell. We've got Paul Ryan. The theme is going to be essentially get America back to work. What would you suggest to our listeners be looking for tonight?
Watch Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan has been the one who has vacillated most on Trump. He has said he's going to support him. He's laid so many conditions on that support. I want to hear the wording that he applies to his endorsement for Trump.
Jim Galloway reporting from Cleveland. Julianne, it is interesting that tonight's the night when all those Washington fat cat insiders that Trump's been campaigning against for a year now will get their chance to speak. Senator Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, the majority leader in the House. Is Galloway right that listening to what Paul Ryan has to say will be particularly instructive?
I think it will be. I think tonight's a defining moment as far as unity is concerned. I've said all along since Trump has captured the nomination that his most difficult task is not going to be running against Hillary Clinton. It's going to be unifying a fractured Republican Party. And I think that begins tonight with some of these naysayers from the past. But I think another thing to just go back and comment on the floor vote with regard to rules, an important thing to remember is that if it would have been a contested convention, there's no doubt in my mind that Ken Cuccinelli would have probably been the person in charge of whipping votes for Ted Cruz, as would have Mike Lee. So I think it will be interesting to see if Ted Cruz holds on to a speaking spot, and if he does, how that's going to be received.
Okay. Steve, what do you think as you watch these Republican congressional leaders up there tonight? What will you be thinking about?
Well, you know, I'll be seeing how dynamic Ryan and some of them come out. You know, they've kind of minced words and not been totally in the corner. But I think I'll reflect on the fact that who's not here at the convention? You know, the former presidents, Republican presidents not here. Their last nominee not here. You know, I think Dole was the only Republican nominee for president showed up. So, you know, I'll be thinking too about a lot of the people who aren't even showing up to the convention and how fractured that remains.
Brian, you know, Steve mentioned that Bob Dole is there. And I must give you a personal observation and let you react to it. It was thrilling to me to see that he was there. I spent an enormous amount of time covering him in a couple of presidential campaigns. He's tough, the funniest, single funniest, spontaneously funny politician I've ever reported on. And just a wonderful human being. And as old as he is today, it's so sort of sad to see how fragile he's become. But if all the other guys weren't going to show up, I was really happy to see Bob Dole there, weren't you?
I tell you, I was in college when he was our presidential nominee, and I feel the way about him.
Are you just trying to lord it over me that you're so much younger than I am? Hey, go ahead.
Hey, that's been two decades, you know?
Make your point.
I feel the same about him as I do about John McCain. These are American heroes. These are people who bear the scars of their sacrifice for their country, who then came home and tried to make their country better and dedicated their lives to that. And I wish that we could clone people like Bob Dole, who's a committed conservative, but he's also reigned during a time where Republican legislators, and I think, you know, Trent Lott and the senator from Tennessee, who was also a majority, Frist.
Bill Frist, yeah.
They were from a time where Republicans were still able to get things done as a governing party. And I do hope that people like Bob Dole being there gives us a little bit of a chance of returning to being a governing party, of a party with a vision for where we want to take America in policy.
All right. You get the last word on today's show, Brian Robinson, because we're completely out of time. Thank you so much for being here. Steve Henson, thank you. We look forward to hearing what you have to say. Tell us when you're at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. Thanks for coming in. And Julianne Thompson, you're always welcome to come back. You know that. It was a pleasure to have you with us as well. I want to take a minute as we say goodbye to welcome a new member of our team. Tyler Morris is coming in. Among other things, he's going to be working in the control room, running the board for our show and doing other engineering work for both Political Rewind and Two Way Street. You're coming at just the right time, Tyler, with a campaign fully engaged at this point. My thanks, of course, to Trevor Young, our producer, our senior producer, the inestimable Jenny Ament in the control room today. Quick note about tomorrow's show. We will, of course, have our regular Wednesday 2 o'clock show tomorrow, and special panelist, the former mayor of the city of Atlanta, Shirley Franklin, will be here to share her feelings. She wants to make it clear she doesn't represent the Democratic Party. She doesn't represent Hillary Rodham Clinton. But you know what? Shirley Franklin is a somewhat opinionated person, and I suspect she will have a lot to say about how things are unfolding. Chip Lake, Republican strategist, will be here as well, as will Aaron Gould Shinen, political writer and reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I'm Bill Nygut. We're having a great time reporting on the Republican convention this week. And remember, we'll be back Wednesday and Friday, but next Tuesday, a special Democratic Party edition of Political Rewind at 2 o'clock. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again tomorrow.